For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and to answer Susie Jones's question, while I'm here, it has not been an eventful state fair run for me this year. Henry Lake in for Chad Hartman with producer Dave Harrigan in studio, News Talk 830 WCCO. I do want to start with the fair because I love the fair. Unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be there this year. Now, I know programming-wise, there might have been like an opportunity for me to be there one day, and, you know, the powers that be didn't have me out there. Maybe our booth is a little bit too close to the GOP booth. I don't know. I'm joking. But the reality is that Twins homestand didn't do me any favors. It was home game after home game after home game, so that played a big part in it. But in terms of, like, even on the weekend, because I love going to the fair. I'm like every other Minnesotan. Just didn't make it this year. But with all of that being said, there's one thing specifically that I love about the fair. And, Dave, I want to get your opinion on this, and people can chime in on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, which is 651-461-9226. And to me, the best thing about the Minnesota State Fair isn't necessarily the rides. It isn't all of the fabulous foods, because the foods are amazing. I don't even ride rides anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't try to go win prizes and all that stuff, whatever. I'm going to dive into the food and, when we're on the clock, you know, do radio shows, right? The best thing about the Minnesota State Fair is that over the course of that 2 weeks or week and a half, the pride that we all have as Minnesotans in putting it on. I think that that is the thing that makes me so excited about going and being amongst the masses and the people. It's just a joyous time that every single Minnesotan loves. And it's at the very end of summer. You know that school is starting up, so it's an opportunity for you to go hang out with your, you know, with your kids before you send them back to school, hang out with your friends that maybe you haven't seen. Because I'll tell you this specifically. My college roommate, Malik, who's an attorney in Washington, D.C., after coming home and bringing his daughter and wife back to Minnesota a year ago, and they went to the fair, his daughter, who is now 12, she wants to go every single year now. Dead serious.
I believe it.
So they returned and came back this weekend, and I did get a chance to catch up with them, not at the fair, but we had a little bit of a gathering of friends that from high school and middle school, just maybe like seven or eight of us. But the bottom line is, it's a destination thing for her, and they don't even live here anymore. So I just think that the pride that we have in going to the fair and being a part of the fair and making it great is what, to me, makes it such a special place.
I don't think they're the only people that, you know, maybe used to be Minnesotans have relocated to another part of the country for job reasons, family reasons, whatever, but make it a point, if not every year, almost every year, to return, see family, see friends, and hit the fair.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But now when you go, well, but you got two young kids.
Yes.
So you guys do the rides.
Yes, a little bit.
You do the rides, and then you do the, where you're trying to win a prize for, you know, your kids, whatever. For me, it is, if it's just a regular day of not working or whatever and just kind of like being amongst the crowd, I'm going to hop around to, I don't know, maybe four or five different places to grab something to eat, and then I'm getting up out of there. I am not Josh Wheeler, where I am going to be there for about 12 hours.
Yeah.
I am not going to be. And this is one reason why I don't feel that bad about not going this year, because, you know, some people are like, oh, you're not a Minnesotan if you don't go to the fair. Somebody's got me covered times a million, and that's Shaletta Brundage. Like, Shaletta has stalked the fair.
Yes.
Every single day I'm seeing post after post after post after post of Shaletta stalking was it the Peachy Donuts?
Yeah.
She's going to all these different places, and I'm like, Shaletta, what are you doing?
She's got energy, man. And she's bringing the family, too. The kids are all with her. Sean's with her. At least two of the days, everyone was in tow. They were getting everything, eaten.
But I
everything.
Wonder if Andrew made it, because now he's off to college.
I didn't see Andrew. At least the two Fridays I saw her when she was out with Chad. Andrew was, he's gone. He's hit the road.
She's working it, man. So I don't feel bad. Shaletta's got me covered. Shaletta's been all over the fair. Wherever I was not able to get to this year, Shaletta was able to do it times a million times.
What would be the first stop for you if you had to make it?
Well,
if you could run out there today after the show.
Which I can't, and we'll get into why I can't a little bit later at the end of this hour. So I love Sweet Martha's, and actually was able to have some because my college roommate, they had a bucket that they brought over, and so I was able to get some leftover Sweet Martha's. I love Sweet Martha's. I love the three, it's like the cheese curds, but it's a bucket, and there's three different flavors. There's like the original, there's
like
the ranch.
Yep.
So I always love the cheese curds, and my college roommate's daughter was all about the cheese curds. Cheese curds, Sweet Martha's. I like the who does the mini donuts?
Tom Thumb is
Tom
my favorite.
Thumb.
It's the greatest mini donut in the world.
It's really
They're
good.
Unbelievable.
Now, I got to admit, one of the reasons why I do feel a little bit left out this year is because this is the second year in a row that they've had that, the peachy donut?
Yes.
And everybody raves about it. I went to the fair last year. I did not make it over there, okay? And there's been places that I've been introduced to at the fair that I love, like Nordic Waffles.
Mm-hmm.
Love them. And now you can find it like in grocery stores now. I didn't make it last year, didn't go to the fair this year, so clearly I haven't had it yet. They are seeing that the line to and the wait to get the donuts are like an hour and 15 minutes.
Yes, it's bonkers.
I couldn't do that.
The place is almost as far north
on
the fairgrounds as you can get. And I
really?
Walked up there probably 3 or 4 days, just taking a walk around before the show.
Really?
And every day it was, I mean, minimum 100 people deep.
Every social media post I see, it's all about that donut. And the wait is an hour and 15 minutes. So it's got to be fabulous. I've not heard from one person that said it was not good or it wasn't. Everybody that I've seen post about it and people that I trust and friends of mine, they say it was worth the wait. So that's something that I would love to have. But look, after the show, and I can't go today anyway, I just don't know if I would want to wait an hour for anything. I'm dead serious.
I'm with you.
With so many different options. The other thing that they have out there that's been I would say I've seen more people like it than not is the dipped, was it the ranch?
Yes, the deep fried ranch.
The deep fried ranch.
Yes. Man. That went over big.
Really?
A lot of people very skeptical of it, myself included.
And it came with like the hot honey.
Crybaby Craig's hot honey, I believe. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
Really? So you did have that?
Yes. Even Chad, who is a noted ranch hater, we tested it out day one of the fair with a bunch of the other new foods, and even he had to admit, it's not too bad.
I will say last year, I think that there was one item that surprised me how good it was when I was there last year, was the dill pickle pizza.
Oh, that upsets me. I'm just not a pickle guy in general.
Yeah, I know
that's
that.
Another
line,
by the way, that's still even this
but
year.
But it was good. It was
down
good. I was shocked by it.
Yeah.
I didn't anticipate that it was going to be that good. All right, 651-461-9226. Henry Lake in for Chad Hartman on this Labor Day. Coming up next, something that I've thought of over the course of time, but absolutely we must address it. We are a nation of alcohol abusers. We get to that next here. Henry Lake in for Chad Hartman.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Work, work, work. Something Chad Hartman doesn't always do. He loves to golf. He loves to vacation. He loves to do a lot of other things other than work, 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 work.
Even when he's here. I mean, is he really working? Come on. You've
Jason
heard the
DeRusha
show.
Too. Exactly. Jason's off today too. Shocker. It's Labor Day, and Chad Hartman and Jason DeRusha are not working. I'm just joking. Henry Lake in for Chad Hartman here on this Labor Day, and I hope that everybody out there is enjoying their time off if you're off. I mean, we're on the airways, so if you're at work or doing whatever, or if you're at the fair, just enjoy the day with friends, family, or if you're by yourself, by yourself. Look, we're just a nation of alcohol abusers. And I say that, and it's an observation from a story that Dave sent me. And so let me read you the headline, because you'd be like, well, how did you, what was the takeaway that we're a nation of alcohol abusers? The headline, it reads, "What really happens to your body a week after you stop drinking?" And the article in itself starts and it talks about this hashtag movement. It's called hashtag Sober Curious Movement. That's been going on. 750,000 uses of the hashtag on Instagram and other social media sites. And in the article, specifically what they dive into in talking to medical directors of hospitals and stuff like that, is they specifically talk about what alcohol does to your body. It talks about the liver. It talks about your cardiovascular system. It talks about your cognitive function, right? All those things. And it dives in and talks about what happens, okay? Drinking increases anxiety levels, impairs your memory's ability to function. It talks about how it's both light and heavy drinking dehydrates you, so your heart compensates by elevating your blood pressure and all your heart, all these specifics about how alcohol impacts the body in a negative way, okay? But this is the thing that really just really hit me, okay? Because it talks about the timeline and how your body recovers and how long and all this other stuff. They have a part where they say, depending on whether you're a light or heavy drinker, your strategy around cutting back will be different, okay? Now, listen to this. It says, if you're drinking more than 7 drinks a week for a woman or 14 for a man, especially for extended periods of time, consider talking to a doctor first before stopping cold turkey. And I'm like, well, hold on. That's pretty darn aggressive in terms of how many times that you're going about drinking, right? So then I looked at some more of the information that they had in the article, and they're talking about essentially what light drinking is, or how we look at what light drinking is versus heavy drinking. Light drinking, according to the National Institute for Health, light drinking is defined as 7 drinks per week for women with no more than 3 in a day and no more than 14 drinks per week for men with no more than 4 in one day. So light drinking is a woman drinking 7 drinks in a week and a man drinking 14? That's mind-blowing to me, Dave, that's what we identify. And this is from the National Institute for Health. That's light drinking. So what's heavy drinking?
Yeah.
And just to put things in perspective, look, I love a good cocktail, right? I drink maybe once every 6 or 7 weeks. Once every couple of months, I'm a social, like if I go out, like if we were all to go hang out one time at a bar or whatever, right? I'll go and I'll hang out and be amongst the crew. And if I feel like having a drink, I'll have a drink. And at the max, probably 2. The majority of the time when I'm out and about or if I'm having food or whatever, I'm going to have water with lemon. I'm never going to be aggressive with alcohol anyway. That's just not my thing. But the bottom line is 7 drinks for a woman and 14 for a man, those are identified as light drinking. That's mind-blowing to me. That tells me we have a absolutely horrible issue with alcohol abuse in this country. If that's how we're defining it, like, yeah. Are you a drinker?
I am. I guess I probably drink a little bit more than you, but on average, one to maybe two a week. I will almost never have any alcohol during the working week. And on the weekends, you know, I might have a beer or a cocktail, you know, maybe on a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I'm going out, rarely would I have more than one. And, you know, for me, it's drinking is an expensive habit, number one. And I just,
for sure.
You know, I never like alcohol. I don't love alcohol. No matter what to drink, for the most part, you know, I like beer. Wine, fine. Cocktails.
I'm with you. I like it, not love it.
I could really like a good cocktail, but, you know, they also, if I'm going out, it's like $15 cocktail now.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, it's nuts. And the way I feel it most, even if I'm having, you know, one beer, if I'm, you know, Saturday night, just hanging out at home, I just grab one beer at 9 o'clock, go to bed at 11, I can almost always feel that my sleep was not as good. It takes me a little longer to go to sleep. I'm waking up once or twice in the middle of the night.
Yep.
And just, I wake up more groggy. And I don't want to feel that way. You know, it's not that I didn't get drunk. It's not anything like that. It's just, I know that's how alcohol impacts my body. So I cannot imagine averaging two drinks a night.
You know, I'm with you in terms of talking about liking it, not loving it. I've never loved it, because even when I was in college, I would say to my friends who love to drink, right, a lot more than I did, and I would have an occasional drink, but I'd be like, look, I'm fine with this, but you can't tell me that, because remember the big song was Gin and Juice, right? Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I said, you can't tell me that gin and juice tastes better than just juice. Like you can't sell that to me, guys. And they would look at me and you know, just kind of scrunch up. I'm like, I'm sorry. You just can't tell me that this juice tastes better with alcohol in it. Yes, it does. No, it makes you feel different.
Yeah.
That's what you enjoy. That's what you love. But from a taste perspective, no chance.
It's funny. I think the same way about how boozy milkshakes and stuff like that have become a thing in the last few years. No. Have you ever had a chocolate malt? It's divine. You don't need to put vodka in it, for goodness sake.
Oh, my goodness. That was the number, and that was not what this article was about. It was talking about the impact on your body. What does alcohol do to your body, on the liver, and your cognitive function, all that. But when I saw that number from the National Institute for Health about what is defined as light drinking for both men and women, I was mind blown by that.
Yeah, I can't imagine going into your doctor for a yearly physical and, hey, how much do you drink? About two a day, 14 a week. And the doctor not saying, whoa, I think cutting back might be a good idea for your health here, but for the National Institute, that number, I'm with you, that seems bonkers high.
Yeah. No. 651-461-9226 if you'd like to react on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Coming up next, after we take a look at the weather, it's going to be pretty light here. We got some sports topics that we'll get to over the course of this Labor Day show, but there is one political story that just will not go away that I want to dive into. And yes, it does involve the former president, Donald Trump. We get to that next year. Henry Lake in on the Chad Hartman Show. Henry Lake in for Chad Hartman. This is the Chad Hartman Show on the Good Neighbor News Talk, 830 WCCO. Dave Harrigan in, producing as always. I don't need to get into how I feel about Donald Trump. Will I vote for Donald Trump? Anything that's happened in his past. Let's talk about a current, I guess you could call it controversy, that people have been talking about for about a week, that I think he is doing himself a massive disservice. And it has to do, and it still revolves around him going to Arlington Cemetery for a visit, National Cemetery, and the, if you want to call it photo op or pictures that he took with families, thumbs up, smiling, and all, and people feeling a certain way about it, and some people thinking that it was a political stunt. That's what Vice President Kamala Harris said. Whether you agree with that or not, he's been criticized for it. Okay, how it came off, what was his intent? Well, I don't know what his intent was, okay? So I'm not going to criticize what his intent was because I don't honestly know. And I don't think that any of us will ever get to the bottom of it. But Donald Trump is making a massive mistake and a misstep. And it could be easily corrected, in my opinion. But his ego won't allow him to do it. So when I look at this situation and people, Gold Star military families that don't like the picture taking and the process of what should not be happening at the cemetery or not, the easiest thing to do and what Donald Trump should do, in my opinion, okay, you don't have to agree with my opinion, but it's my opinion, is he should just say to the American people and specifically to those families, look, my intention was not to disrespect any fallen U.S. service members. My intention was not to disrespect U.S. families. That's not my intention. So if you take it as disrespect, if you feel that I have done wrong by your loved one that is departed, then I apologize. That was not my intention. I'm sorry. That was not my aim. He won't do that. And to me, that is problematic. And I don't understand why he wouldn't. And it doesn't have to be some long, drawn-out thing. He could just look to everybody. And you know how, like, sometimes when we have issues with one another or whatever, and something goes sideways, or the young kids would say, go left. What do we say? My bad.
My bad.
My bad. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That's not – I wasn't trying to, you know, make you feel bad. I wasn't trying to disrespect you in any way. I wasn't trying to do anything other than whatever, you know, the issue is. Why does he just do that? And look, I get it. There'll be people that say, well, like, you know, that's not in him. If it's not in him at this particular point, and it hasn't been, you know, in the history of Donald Trump where he's going to step out and do that, then I just don't understand how the majority of the nation is going to get behind him now in 2024. To me, this is the most simplest thing that he can do. And this is another thing that I'll look at, okay, because they put out a statement, okay, his campaign, they issued a statement on Sunday. And even in this statement, I'm a little bit lost, okay? So he thanked family members, okay, for their statement via social media because it was a statement that was put out by family members. But listen to this. This is something that he wrote. It says, quote, thank you for saying you wanted me to stand with you and take pictures. That it was your request, not mine. Isn't that a weird thing to say? I mean, I'm dancing to family members. And to take pictures, that it was your request, not mine. I don't know. I feel weird about that line. It's almost like, well, you guys wanted me there. You guys wanted to take the pictures with me. It's not like I wanted to really be there. It's not like I really wanted to be amongst you and honor your fallen loved one. I don't know. When you think about people that have honor, we should all be able to take a look in the mirror. And I don't care what it is, because we've all done things that we're not proud of. We've all made mistakes, intentional and unintentional. And when things are not the way or feelings are hurt on whatever side, it takes a person, an honorable person, to be able to look in the mirror and say, you know what? That's not my intention. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to offend you in any way, shape, or form. So I apologize if it hurt you or you were offended by what I did. And we see that all the time because we have these debates, right? When somebody apologizes, whether it's on social media or when they're in there's a firestorm going around, what's going on? And then what's the next thing people will say, right? People say, well, I'm not sure it was genuine. Yeah, they only said that because exactly. They got in trouble. You know what? Who cares? Who cares at this particular point? Because it's not for me or anybody else to try to decipher whether Donald Trump's apology, if he puts an apology out there or he says that he's sorry, it's not for Henry Lake to say, well, it's instant. I can have the opinion about whether it's sincere or not because we all are entitled to our opinion, but at least you put it out there. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you said it. It's not in the playbook. It never has been. And, you know, you can – there's a lot of ways to look at – to identify what strength is in a person, you know? Apology. An apology can be great strength. Other people say, no, great strength is never admitting you're wrong, never admitting your fault. And that's been the Donald Trump and the Trump business playbook for years and for decades. And that's just, you know, it's the way the man is. It's the way he's built his business. He's lived his life. So, you know, who's gonna argue right with him right now? You know, he can look at his life and look at his, you know, the way he's gone about things and say, look, I've been a very successful businessman. I've been a TV star. I've known around the world. I've become the president of the United States of America. This has worked for me for almost 80 years. Why would I change now? Because clearly there is a vast section of the public that love it, that absolutely love it.
Absolutely. And there's even things that he's done that, regardless of how I feel about him, that I don't even criticize. I'll give you a perfect example, and it's with this story. So the picture or pictures of him and the thumbs up and all that, I'm not even reading too much into that. Because people were like, well, look at him. He's smiling, and he's putting his thumbs up. And like,
yeah, everyone's a body language expert, right?
Yeah, and I'm like, guys, we're going overboard with this. This is way too deep. Like, I think that he is so used to taking photographs of the thumbs up and him smiling that is second nature to him, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that he intended to disrespect somebody by smiling. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not reading that much into it. So I give him a pass on that. But I can't give him a pass on not stepping up and just saying, my bad. That's the least you can do. And to me, that is something that if you... Henry Lake again for Chad Hartman. This is the Chad Hartman Show on the Good Neighbor News Talk, 830 WCCO. Dave Harrigan in, producing as always. I don't need to get into how I feel about Donald Trump. Will I vote for Donald Trump? Anything that's happened in his past. Let's talk about a current, I guess you could call it controversy, that people have been talking about for about a week. That I think he is doing himself a massive disservice. And it has to do, and it still revolves around him going to Arlington Cemetery for a visit, National Cemetery, and the, if you want to call it photo op or pictures that he took with families, thumbs up, smiling, and all, and people feeling a certain way about it. And some people thinking that it was a political stunt. That's what Vice President Kamala Harris said. Whether you agree with that or not, he's been criticized for it, okay? How it came off. What was his intent? Well, I don't know what his intent was, okay? So I'm not going to criticize what his intent was because I don't honestly know. And I don't think that any of us will ever get to the bottom of it. But Donald Trump is making a massive mistake and a misstep. And it can be easily corrected, in my opinion. But his ego won't allow him to do it. So when I look at this situation, and people, Gold Star military families, that don't like the picture taking, and the process of what should not be happening at the cemetery or not. The easiest thing to do, and what Donald Trump should do, in my opinion, okay, you don't have to agree with my opinion, but it's my opinion, is he should just say to the American people, and specifically to those families, look, my intention was not to disrespect any fallen U.S. service members. My intention was not to disrespect U.S. families. That's not my intention. So if you take it as disrespect, if you feel that I have done wrong by your loved one that is departed, then I apologize. That was not my intention. I'm sorry. That was not my aim. He won't do that. And to me, that is problematic. And I don't understand why he wouldn't. And it doesn't have to be some long, drawn-out thing. He could just look to everybody. And you know how, like, sometimes when we have issues with one another or whatever, and something goes sideways, or the young kids would say, go left. What do we say? My bad.
My bad.
My bad. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to make you feel bad. I wasn't trying to disrespect you in any way. I wasn't trying to do anything other than whatever, you know, the issue is. Why does he just do that? And look, I get it. There'll be people that say, well, Lake, you know, that's not in him. If it's not in him at this particular point, and it hasn't been, you know, in the history of Donald Trump where he's going to step out and do that, then I just don't understand how the majority of the nation is going to get behind him now in 2024. To me, this is the most simplest thing that he can do. And this is another thing that I'll look at, okay, because they put out a statement, okay, his campaign, they issued a statement on Sunday. And even in this statement, I'm a little bit lost, okay? So he thanked family members, okay, for their statement via social media because it was a statement that was put out by family members. But listen to this. This is something that he wrote. It says, quote, thank you for saying you wanted me to stand with you and take pictures. That it was your request, not mine. Isn't that a weird thing to say? I mean, I'm dancing to family members and to take pictures that it was your request, not mine. I don't know. I feel weird about that line. It's almost like, well, you guys wanted me there. You guys wanted to take the pictures with me. It's not like I wanted to really be there. It's not like I really wanted to be amongst you and honor your fallen loved one. I don't know. When you think about people that have honor, we should all be able to take a look in the mirror. And I don't care what it is, because we've all done things that we're not proud of. We've all made mistakes, intentional and unintentional. And when things are not the way or feelings are hurt on whatever side, it takes a person, an honorable person, to be able to look in the mirror and say, you know what? That's not my intention. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to offend you in any way, shape, or form. So I apologize if it hurt you or you were offended by what I did. And we see that all the time because we have these debates, right, when somebody apologizes, whether it's on social media or they put when they're in the there's a firestorm going around, what's going on? And then what's the next thing people will say, right? People will say, well, I'm not sure it was genuine. Yeah, they only said that because exactly. They got in trouble. You know what? Who cares? Who cares at this particular point? Because it's not for me or anybody else to try to decipher whether Donald Trump's apology, if he puts an apology out there or he says that he's sorry, it's not for Henry Lake to say, well, it's instant. I can have the opinion about whether it's sincere or not because we all are entitled to our opinion, but at least you put it out there. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you said it. It's not in the playbook. It never has been. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to look at, to identify what strength is in a person. You know, apology. An apology can be great strength. Other people say, no, great strength is never admitting you're wrong, never admitting your fault. And that's been the Donald Trump and the Trump business playbook for years and for decades. And that's just, you know, it's the way the man is. It's the way he's built his business. He's lived his life. So, you know, who's gonna argue right with him right now? You know, he can look at his life and look at his, you know, the way he's gone about things and say, look, I've been a very successful businessman. I've been a TV star. I've known around the world. I've become the president of the United States of America. This has worked for me for almost 80 years. Why would I change now? Because clearly there is a vast section of the public that love it. that absolutely love it.
Absolutely. And there's even things that he's done that, regardless of how I feel about him, that I don't even criticize. I'll give you a perfect example. And it's with this story. So the picture or pictures of him and the thumbs up and all that, I'm not even reading too much into that. Because people were like, well, look at him. He's smiling and he's putting his thumbs up. And like,
yeah, everyone's a body language expert, right?
Yeah. And I'm like, guys, we're going overboard with this. This is way too deep. Like, I think that he is so used to taking photographs of the thumbs up and him smiling that is second nature to him, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that he intended to disrespect somebody by smiling. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not reading that much into it. So I give him a pass on that. But I can't give him a pass on not stepping up and just saying, my bad. That's the least you can do. And to me, that is something that if you step up and say, my bad, I didn't intend to offend, then I think out of all the things people look at, you know what they would say? That's relatable. I can relate to that. Because we've all had moments where we're like, oh, I didn't mean to. You know, we say things, you know, and you don't mean to offend somebody. But you let that person know, look, I truly and sincerely apologize because that was not my intention. He's got to be better than this. He should be better than this. And like you mentioned, he's, what, almost 80?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
come on.
But, I mean, the way he looks at it, I think, is if you just let it go. If you don't apologize, you don't acknowledge, you don't admit fault, if you just let the people talk about it, eventually it'll get talked out.
Yeah.
Eventually it'll be done. You will never have to admit you were wrong. You will never have to, you know, face the music in any way. It's just, we're going to, you know, like I said, put out the statement. That's it. It's not an apology. It's an explanation of what happened.
Yeah.
And we're going to move on. Let the left go absolutely bonkers about it. And then, you know what? A couple weeks later, it'll be gone.
Yeah.
And that's happened for so many issues with him. And, it, you know, like I said, who might argue? It's worked.
Yeah. 651-461-9226. Coming up next, a special day for me and my family, but I wonder how you feel about one particular person in your family. I ask the question, I get your reaction. We do that next. Henry Lake, it's a Chad Hartman Show. It's time for the latest construction time check. Time to check your home more energy. Time to make your home more energy efficient with GAF Solar Roofing at 1252. I want to send a happy birthday to my father. My father turns 76 today.
Wow, good for him.
Love my dad. My dad's been such an amazing man. Always been there for me my entire life. Taught me so many things. Has always been super supportive of me. I love my dad. There's a but, though.
Uh-oh.
And the but is, and everybody has this, there's something about your father that you just don't like. And I'm not talking about like serious, right? Like some people have serious things. This isn't serious, but it still irks me.
Happy birthday, Mr. Lake.
So happy birthday, Dad. But what is it with your father that you can't stand the most? The thing that I can't stand about my dad is that when it comes to sports-related things, games, teams that he supports, watches, whatever, especially the local teams, he's the constant complainer. And I hate it. He's the constant complainer. And I'll give an example.
Like referee complaining? What are we talking here?
No. He complains about the home team or the team that we want to see win 24/7. They can do nothing right. Nothing right. He predicts that everything is going to be the worst ever. So, like, for example, the Minnesota Timberwolves, okay, for an example, could be leading by 30 points in the fourth quarter.
Okay. Okay.
They give up a basket. I can't believe this terrible defense that they're playing. Why you just let the man just go by you like that? They're up 30. The Minnesota Vikings could be up 4 touchdowns. Justin Jefferson could have 3 touchdowns, 200 yards, making the fantasy football team look great. Deep ball, just a little bit beyond him, off his fingertips. Why didn't you catch that ball? You need to make that play. They're up 4 touchdowns. My dad is the worst. It's so irritating to me. It's like, Dad, they're not robots. And by the way, those people that they're facing are professionals too. It's not going to be 30-point blowouts all the time. It's not going to be the team is going to win every single game. Oh, you should see my dad every time that Jawan Durant comes in a game. Oh, my goodness. If I happen to be over at my dad's and I'm watching the game with him or just whatever, it's unbelievable. It's the worst ever. So that's the thing with my – so what is the thing about your – we all love our parents, right? I love my dad. But that's the one thing I'm like, Dad, you got to chill.
I'm going to stick up for your dad.
How?
Number one.
How can you?
Number one, your dad can complain about not playing defense or not catching a ball he thinks should be caught at any time in the game. I don't care if they're up 8 touchdowns, 53 points with 2 minutes to go. You know what?
He's an unrealistic fan, though.
Yeah, well, you know what? He also might just be a fan who goes a little old school and says, you know what? You're a paid professional. Don't give up. Don't go easy. I don't care how much you're up. I don't care how you're down. Play till the end of the game. Number one. Number two. Maybe he's still trying to teach you a lesson that you haven't taken in all your years on this earth, Henry Lake. He's clearly a diehard Minnesota sports fan, and he's seen a couple World Series. He's seen the Lynx crush it 4 different times.
It's not even Minnesota teams, though.
What has he seen from the Vikings, the Wolves, that you have specifically mentioned here? He is setting you up for what you need to expect as a Minnesota sports fan, Henry, and you won't listen.
And this is not just Minnesota teams. I'm just telling you. It could be whatever team that he's pulling for on whatever day. If they are not taking care of business the way that he thinks that they should, they should always blow everybody out. He gets upset. Makes no sense. Love you, Dad.
Happy birthday.
Coming up next, overrated, underrated, or properly rated? Next on the Chad Hartman Show. It's time for the Linus Construction Time Check. Time to check your home more energy. Time to make your home more energy efficient with GAF Solar Roofing at 1252. I want to send a happy birthday to my father. My father turns 76 today.
Wow, good for him.
Love my dad. My dad's been such an amazing man, always been there for me my entire life, taught me so many things, has always been super supportive of me. I love my dad. There's a but, though.
Uh-oh.
And the but is, and everybody has this, there's something about your father that you just don't like. And I'm not talking about, like, serious, right? Like, some people have serious things. This isn't serious. But it still irks me.
Happy birthday, Mr. Lake.
So happy birthday, Dad. But what is it with your father that you can't stand the most? The thing that I can't stand about my dad is that when it comes to sports-related things, games, teams that he supports, watches, whatever, especially the local teams, he's the constant complainer. And I hate it. He's the constant complainer. And I'll give an example.
Like referee complaining? What are we talking here?
No. He complains about the home team or the team that we want to see win 24/7. They can do nothing right. Nothing right. He predicts that everything is going to be the worst ever. So, like, for example, the Minnesota Timberwolves, okay, for an example. could be leading by 30 points in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
They give up a basket. I can't believe this terrible defense that they're playing. Why you just let the man just go by you like that? They're up 30. The Minnesota Vikings could be up 4 touchdowns. Justin Jefferson could have 3 touchdowns, 200 yards, making the fantasy football team look great. Deep ball, just a little bit beyond him, off his fingertips. Why didn't you catch that ball? You need to make that play. They're up 4 touchdowns. My dad is the worst. It's so irritating to me. It's like, Dad, they're not robots. And by the way, those people that they're facing are professionals too. It's not going to be 30-point blowouts all the time. It's not going to be the team is going to win every single game. Oh, you should see my dad every time that Jaun Duran comes in a game. Oh, my goodness. If I happen to be over my dad's and I'm watching the game with him or just whatever, it's unbelievable. It's the worst ever. So that's the thing with my – so what is the thing about your – we all love our parents, right? I love my dad. But that's the one thing I'm like, Dad, you got to chill.
I'm going to stick up for your dad.
How?
Number one.
How can you?
Number one, your dad can complain about not playing defense or not catching a ball he thinks should be caught at any time of the game. I don't care if they're up 8 touchdowns, 53 points with minutes to go. You know what?
He's an unrealistic fan, though.
Yeah, well, you know what? He also might just be a fan who goes a little old school and says, you know what? You're a paid professional. Don't give up. Don't go easy. I don't care how much you're up. I don't care how you're down. Play till the end of the game. Number one. Number two, maybe he's still trying to teach you a lesson that you haven't taken in all your years on this earth, Henry Lake. He's clearly a diehard Minnesota sports fan, and he's seen a couple World Series. He's seen the Lynx crush it 4 different times.
It's not even Minnesota teams, though.
What has he seen from the Vikings, the Wolves, that you have specifically mentioned here? He is setting you up for what you need to expect as a Minnesota sports fan, Henry, and you won't listen.
And this is not just Minnesota teams. I'm just telling you. It could be whatever team that he's pulling for on whatever day. If they are not taking care of business the way that he thinks that they should, they should always blow everybody out. He gets upset. Makes no sense. Love you, Dad.
Happy birthday.
Coming up next, overrated, underrated, or properly rated? Next on the Chad Hartman Show.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.